Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Do you use a hand dryer in public restrooms? If so, brace yourselves. Research shows these devices are spraying fecal particles on your hands. Kim and I discuss this gross research from the University of Connecticut and the health implications you need to be aware of. Also, did you know that texting could be making you stupid? OMG! Research found that texting has a negative impact on the brain's ability to interpret and accept words. And we're going to chime in on a Harvard study showing that watching TV lowers sperm production and decreases libido. Don't go anywhere. This informative packed segment starts now.
It's time for Chew On This, your health and wellness headlines and media propaganda report with Dr. David Friedman and Miss Tell It Like It Is, the author of the Skinny Bitch book series, Kim Bar Nguyen.
Our first headline is a gross one. Scientists at the University of Connecticut found that using hand dryers in a public bathroom sprays fecal particles onto your hands. The study published in the Journal of Applied and Environmental Microbiology found between 18 and 30 colonies of bacteria get sprayed on people's hands, including pieces of poop. Essentially, when you flush a toilet, this sends fecal particles whizzing through the air and onto the hand dryer. These tiny pieces of doo-doo are warmed up and then catapulted right into your hands. Kim, are you going to walk out of public bathrooms and wet hands from now on?
Absolutely, and bring my own maybe recycled towels or something, but I was so grossed out with this. And, you know, most bathrooms that you're using in public, they don't have lids, so they're like high-powered, supersonic, you know, flushers, and that makes sense. Everything goes, you know, flying that you can't even see. You get to those hot dryers, and then that's when apparently the shit hits the fan.
Oh, yeah, pun intended there. You know, and I know we've covered a lot of gross health headlines over the years, but this one is by far the crappiest that we've covered. I mean, do you remember back, think back, going back to your youth, the day when most public bathrooms, they had that cloth towel dispensers that were, you know, we used the same towel that everybody used. Do you remember those?
I remember. That's gross as well. And I'm so glad we don't have that, but you know, we all thought it was such a godsend having these, you know, super-powered heat dryers that you just, you know, put your hands under and it warms them in a second. You're all good, but apparently it's not so good because not only is it getting on your hands, but if it's spraying it everywhere, you know, God knows where else it's going, on you and in the bathroom and, you know, floating around the air. It's really disgusting.
I know, but in retrospect, touching a wet cloth after somebody that just washed their hands doesn't seem so bad now, does it?
It doesn't. And you know what? When I was, you know, reading about this article as well, it says that, you know, if these hand dryers can be fitted with HEPA filters, it can reduce the bacterial deposits, or we could, you know, always go back to the whole paper towel thing, which I know
yeah.
is not great for the environment, but
I know that,
I'd
yeah,
rather have that than poop smeared all over me.
Yeah, but until those HEPA filters come out, folks, don't touch the door of the bathroom after you just washed your hands. And, you know, you may want to just drip dry or actually use toilet paper. I wouldn't put my hand under that after hearing this study as well. And, you know, what other people do is they wash their hands and then they touch the doorknob, Kim. There's so many germs on the door, so they need to continue.
Right.
Bring that Kleenex or paper towel or use your elbow if it's a push. That makes sense. And since we're on the topic,
absolutely,
it's important to point out, we need to point out that fecal particle concerns not just limited to public bathrooms. At home, when you flush your toilet, tiny poop particles fly into the air and can actually hover over 45 minutes before landing on things like your faucet handle and even your toothbrush. That's right, you're probably rubbing poop all over your pearly whites. A study by Manchester University found there's more bacteria on your toothbrush than your toilet seat. Up to 10 million bacteria have found to be living on your toothbrush, including fecal matter. Our researchers at the American Society of Microbiology presented a study showing that 60% of toothbrushes tested positive for fecal coliform bacteria. And if you're sharing a bathroom, there's an 80% chance that those poop germs came from somebody else's rear end. Kim, this puts a new spin on the term having crappy breath.
Oh, my God. Yeah, my morning just got so much better with this. I'm thinking when I brushed my teeth this morning, what was going on there? Yeah, I'm going to find a way to cover my my toothbrush from now on, and I will always flush the toilet with it closed, the lid closed. And yeah, that ruined my appetite for a while, but it's good to know that.
Yeah, you know, we can't leave everyone up a crack without a paddle. But here's a few proactive steps that you can take to combat that airborne spread of poop. Close the lid on your toilet before you flush. That's one. And that keeps particles from floating around the bathroom. Also, you can pour food-grade hydrogen peroxide on your toothbrush after you use it. That's going to kill the germs. You can use a hair dryer. Since bacteria thrive on the moist bristles of your toothbrush, they're killed by that hot air. And Kim, you mentioned putting a cover on your toothbrush. That's actually not a good idea. That actually increases bacteria growth by creating moisture. So that's not a good idea. And you want to replace your toothbrush often, particularly if you got somebody else in the household that's been sick. If somebody's sick, throw out your toothbrush because they're coughing and sneezing. It can be infecting you.
And that does make sense. If you're covering it, it is going to keep it moist. You want to make sure it dries. Yeah, I like the hair dryer and the hydrogen peroxide. That's good.
Yeah, because my first thing would be to cover it up. You think that would cover it, but then the moist bristles. So, yeah, this is good information, though. Let's go on to our next topic comes from Calgary University. It's a study, research designed to understand the effect of text messaging on language, found that texting has a negative impact on people's linguistic ability to interpret and accept words. Let's put that into layman's terms for everybody. Texting can make you stupid. They found people that read more books, magazines, and newspapers have brains that are more accepting of new words. Students who text more develop brain patterns that are less likely to acknowledge possible words. OMG and LOL, Kim. What a great topic. And I spell that, of course, GR with the number 8. You're a mom. What's your opinion on text messaging?
You know, this is a mixed bag for me because I agree with the study that it could really, you know, is it really good for kids to be shortening the words and omitting words? Because now there's this whole, you know, thing called text-to-use where this, you know, from everybody texting and their abbreviations and all that stuff. Now, when I did a little more research about it too, they say that maybe on a positive note, it almost puts kids in this weird bilingual category because if they're able to distinguish between, well, I'm texting my friends or my mom or whatever, and then when I get to school, I need to put my school hat on and I need to, you know, go back to the regular English. It, you know, if they can, you know, very well distinguish between the two, they say it could really not be a terrible thing. But, you know, it also makes them not spell well. And when we're, you know, my child was learning not too long ago, context clues. So if he doesn't know a word, he doesn't know what it means, he's going to reread that article or, you know, the paragraph in the book, and it's going to make him learn this word better. So he's getting a bigger vocabulary by, you know, by reading something, books and, you know, magazines and things like that, rather than just focusing on, all I want to do is text my friend. So there's, I don't know, it's kind of a mixed bag on that one.
Yeah, and I read another scary statistic that 55% of today's teenagers don't read books except when they're forced to, and they spend their time, you know, they're texting, they're chatting on social media and websites, and reading books has been proven to encourage flexibility in language skills and learning new words, so I think that's a detriment. I read books. I didn't have all these, you know, social media and videos and all that. It was books, so I think they're really missing out on that.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. And Kim, really scary is teenagers.
Yeah, I think it's important,
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I mean, people are reading on tablets now instead of the book and the light that's emitting from it, and it's still getting them on their tablet or their phone instead of putting it down and getting back to a book like we had.
Yeah, it's the old days, and I found something shocking is teenagers are so text and type dependent. Most schools are no longer teaching kids to write in cursive. That was a shocker.
Yes, it's true. You know, my son has been practicing. We practice at home, but yeah, they don't. That's not something that they're doing anymore. And it's so disappointing. It was so much fun learning how to write cursive, and I think it's such an important part of writing. And you become an adult, you write cursive, and I still use, you know, cursive every single day. So it is very sad that that's not happening anymore.
It is sad. You know, it's not just teenagers addicted to texting. I was on a bus at an airport, Kim, and every single passenger was text messaging on their cell phones. All of them were tapping their thumbs. No one was reading a book. Nobody was talking to each other like they used to do. And if it was a horror flick, it would be called the Textorcist. That's how bad it was. Or I guess, or Kim, I guess if it was a comedy, we'd call it Thumb and Thumber.
Right. No, it's so true. You do. And you see that at restaurants, you know, people, they're not socializing with each other like we used to as well. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, we'd all ride our bikes over to our friend's house, and you knew that your friends were someplace by, you know, their bikes or their skateboards being in front of someone's house, and you just went and explored and had fun, and just things are just so concentrated on the phone or the tablet or the Xbox nowadays that it is creating a whole different world that, you know, you and I just were not used to that. We've been outside, you know, you come back and it's dark, it's dinner time, and your parents are just fine with that.
Yeah, we played real sports. They play sports on their video games in front of their computer.
Right. That's exactly right. It's definitely a whole different generation.
It's great. I know having your phone to your face, as you mentioned, it has so many other negative effects. It can actually be life-threatening because text messaging is more fatal now for car accidents than alcohol consumption. So actually people are dying because they're texting, and, you know, that makes a lot of sense. So I think it's definitely a problem that's going to get worse and worse as we progress. Then you got the EMFs, that constant bombardment of electromagnetic frequencies, and we didn't have that when we had that paperback book. So it's definitely a topic that's that needs to be discussed and thoroughly analyzed for the future here. It's amazing. All right, let's go to our last headline. This is an interesting one. According to a Harvard study, watching TV lowers sperm production and decreases libido. Men who view more than 20 hours of TV shows weekly have a 44% lower sperm count compared to those who watch minimal to no television. That's just 3 hours of TV per day. They concluded that the inactivity of watching 20 hours of TV each week causes the endocrine system to get out of whack, which lowers testosterone. Also, people that watch TV tend to gravitate toward fatty foods, which has been shown to lower sperm count. What makes matters really worse is TV increases the appetite because it exposes you to commercials designed to make you crave food. Sitting and being stagnant is being called the new cigarette. Now, Kim, we've covered several studies showing the dangers of long-term sitting. And just an FYI, I'm actually standing up doing this show right now. I don't want to be known as the sterile health talk radio host.
No, you're right. I mean, all of these things, it absolutely makes sense. And I think, you know, you talk to more and more people that are having more fertility issues, and not, this isn't, you know, only an issue with the men, of course, but, you know, people are more, they're coming home from work and they're tired, and instead of, you know, trying to be a little more physically active and get more exercise, you know, people are plopping down in front of the TV, and this is, you know, a lot less exercise they're getting. I mean, it says that 15 hours of exercise or more a week can boost the semen quality. I mean, I know even if you do any sort of exercise at all, it's going to help, but you're sitting there, you know, in your clothes, and it gets a little hot down there, and that can really mess with sperm production. So if you're a couch potato and you just spend all, you know, all that time sitting there watching TV, obviously over time, that's going to have an effect on you. So, yeah, it was definitely a good-to-know topic.
Yeah, and it's not just TV, but impotency is higher among those sedentary gamers, YouTubers, Facebookers, sitting for hours at a time. As you mentioned, it increases the temperature in the groin area, and this heat destroys sperm. And when men stand or walk, their testicles hang lower, stay cooler, and that's when sperm is formed. And, you know, we talked about the old days. I think this TiVo and DVRs are a big factor. You know, in the old days, if you missed a show, so be it. You didn't make it home in time. Now at your leisure, you can binge watch hours and hours of TV at one time. We didn't have that when we were younger.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I feel like it was so much more active, and, you know, my parents just didn't let us, like, Saturday morning we watched our cartoons, but after breakfast, they kicked us out. We were gone. We were gone all day. We were gone after we did our homework after school. And I feel like you're right. I mean, there's, you know, gamers, and we have so many venues for, you know, if you're working on your computer, it's just so much against you nowadays. So it's just so important to keep that exercise going. I mean, you know, when you're being physical and you're exercising, those antioxidant enzymes from physical activity, it protects your sperm against damage. So, you know, it's important in so many ways. So, you know, we got to try to encourage people to get up off their butts a little bit and be more active.
Yeah, and you remember back in the day, there was something that every about 10 minutes we encountered for TV. It's called commercials. You remember that? We used to get up and stretch and go to the bathroom. Now you just fast forward right through the commercials and they sit there, or Netflix, there's no commercials. So there's really no getting up and taking that break that we had. You know, we didn't used to watch commercials. I used to get up and go do some stuff. And, you know, men, if you're an avid TV watcher, you know, get up and push pause, get up, exercise during the show, or put your treadmill near your TV. That's another great option. And if you nosh while watching TV, stay away from those sperm-killing comfort foods and eat more whole food snacks like hummus and celery, almonds, or pistachios. And one other quick tip is while sitting on the couch for men, keep your cold drink nestled between your legs. This will help keep your testicles cooler, which promotes testosterone increase.
That's a good tip. That's a good one.
Yeah, so that's definitely. So yeah, some definitely interesting stuff. And like I said, I think all of these really go back to back in the old days. Let's go back to just wiping our hands with everyone's cloth. Let's go back to commercial.
Right.
Let's go back to books. I think this whole segment has a theme. We got to get back to the way things were. It's getting out of hand.
That's right. That's exactly right. I totally agree with you. The world will be a little better place for that one.
You definitely will. Well, fantastic. That concludes another edition of Chew on This. And of course, we are your dynamic duo of due diligence. We're here to help you digest all the latest headlines. If you see a story you want us to feature, send it to us at chewonthis@toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Podcasts of all of these segments are available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. Listen on the go, in your car, on the way to work. Share them with friends, family, and post them on social media. This information is too important to keep to yourself. You can stay up to date with Kim on Twitter at SkinnyBitch and on her website, SkinnyBitchOfficial.com. And for my daily health tweets, follow me at Dr. David Friedman. And for all my latest updates, blog posts, and healthy eating tidbits, visit DrDavidFriedman.com. Thanks for tuning in. Stay well and stay tuned.